In our second matter, 2022-0988, State of Ohio, ex rel, the International Association of Firefighters, Local 1536 AFL-CIO versus John Barbish in his official capacity as Mayor and Director of Public Safety. For the appellant, Mr. Guidetti. Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor. Chief Justice Kennedy, honorable members of the court, and may it please the court, my name is Mark Guidetti. I'm here today on behalf of Local 1536 of the International Association of Firefighters, and I'm also here today with Mr. Scott Maynor, a representative of NOTH, the Northern Ohio Firefighters Association, amicus in this matter. I would like to reserve 5 minutes of time for rebuttal. I apologize if the court gets this often, but walking in today, I couldn't help but notice the inscription on the front of the Supreme Court building. And that inscription reads, "The whole fabric of society rests upon labor." And I know some of the justices have referenced that in some public statements. And that's exactly why we're here today. We're here today to protect the rights of police and firefighters per civil service rules and laws in the state of Ohio that protect the right to promotion and protect the right to original appointments in classified civil service police and fire departments throughout the state. As the court knows, first responders are the backbone of our society, and they're quite literally on the front lines, is why they have the name first responders. Their lives are on the line each time there's a traffic stop, each time they go into a burning building.
But Counselor, this case is really almost about first responders versus another first responder.
It's not.
The rules that affect the people.
Well, ironically, the first responder that is involved here, Chief Powers, or I should say former Chief Powers, who's currently in the position of chief, back in the day, the case Ruffner, I think, cited on page 19 or 20 of Local 1536's merit brief was actually on this side of the aisle, requesting a court to declare, and the court did declare, the Court of Common Pleas for Lake County, that a vacancy exists when a fire chief retires. So he's been on this side of the aisle and actually requested the same relief that we're requesting now. The uniform approach to promotions within the classified civil service is really what everybody wants to have protected.
So who's involved in this controversy from your perspective, if it's not our first responders kind of having a disagreement about vacancies and promotions and positions? These two sides are on the same side, correct?
I think everybody's on the same side. The law is on the same side from the perspective that there has to be a uniform system of promotions in the state of Ohio. The appellee's position and the 8th District's position and the trial court's position is that these mandatory competitive promotional rules don't have to be applied in this circumstance. That largely centers around an allegation that vacancy somehow is not created when Mr. Powers...
Because there wasn't an intent to leave the job. But is intent to leave in the statute anywhere, in the rules? That's not the...
There's a bright line rule that exists.
Right, and it talks about retirement.
If there's a retirement, and here Mr. Powers retired not because of a physical disability or anything like that, which there's separate provisions in the code to address that, this was purely to collect his pension. There's not really any dispute about the reason for the retirement.
Is the reason important? Does it matter, other than if it doesn't trigger another rule?
Like that's the only reason it would be important. With the exception, courts have been clear. When there's a retirement, and Dore v. Miller is the preeminent case on point here out of the 9th District from 2004, when there is a retirement for purposes of collecting a pension, that retirement is final, and there's many other cases, Zavison, Relic, where the courts in Ohio have held that retirement immediately creates a vacancy that triggers the mandatory competitive promotional examination process.
Is there any way that the chief would have been able to apply after his retirement?
Yes. So 124.50 provides the specific reinstatement mechanism for those in the competitive classified civil service in a fire department promoted rank. 124.50 says he can make application within 1 year from the date the resignation occurred, and he would go essentially from fire chief and be placed into a position no higher than the rank of firefighter. That differs from 124.32B, which is what appellees advocate, and I think what the 11th District Court of Appeals opinion would allow. He could not have to go back to firefighter, but could stay in the position of fire chief. The issue with that, 124.32B is not specific for a fire department, and it allows that request for reinstatement to the position of fire chief to be made anytime within 1 year. The problem with that is the competitive promotional examination process. Once that vacancy automatically occurs, there has to be, if no civil service promotional eligibility list exists, that test has to occur within 60 days to create a promotional list. And then once that list is certified to the appointing authority by the Civil Service Commission, the appointing authority then has 10 days to make an appointment to fill that position.
Well, what happened if the letter comes before that?
I'm sorry, Mariana?
If after retirement, the letter comes before that, the chief's letter under 124.32?
124.32 can't apply. Doesn't apply because 124.50 is explicit and applies to firefighters. And the reason for that, I believe, the General Assembly's intent was not to interfere with the competitive promotional examination process. That's why it's still the same 1 year period, but you have to go to the firefighter rank so that promotions can be made in a timely manner pursuant to 124.45 and 124.48, which are also explicitly applicable to firefighters.
So realistically, once he retired, the chief had no chance of becoming chief again because he would be relegated to the bottom of the rank. It couldn't be captain, couldn't be lieutenant. You'd have to start all over.
That's
have
correct.
Less seniority than everybody who's there.
That's correct. And yeah, and actually 124.50 provides that seniority does not carry over once that reinstatement to the position of firefighter occurs, and there also has to be an examination at that time as well.
Does Local 1536 oppose double dipping?
So Ohio law, and this is one of the issues with the 11th District decision and the trial court's decision, the lower courts conflate unclassified civil service law with classified civil service law. Retire, rehire is a colloquial term commonly used in Ohio. We've all seen it. That's not an issue for non-classified townships or cities. That's not what we're dealing with here. The city of Wycliffe. Yes, Your Honor.
I was just going to, my question remains.
Yes.
Does Local 1536 oppose double dipping?
Not when it's authorized by law. And certainly oppose it here because it's in direct contravention of not only the Ohio Revised Code provisions that we just discussed, but there's explicit city charter sections, there's explicit city civil service rules that it's a little bit frustrating because they are explicit to this circumstance. The chief cannot be simply on the whim of the mayor in a backroom deal reappointed to the position of fire chief after he retires. Just not possible. There has to be a competitive promotional examination process. Now, the local rules allow for an internal and an external. You don't get to the external unless there's not two candidates to compete in the next lower rank. And I think getting back to the initial question here today, yes, it impacts the entire fire department. It affects the morale in the entire fire department. Because once the chief position becomes vacant, then there's three positions under that, three captain positions, or four captain positions that would be eligible to get promoted, and then three lieutenants under that, and then firefighters. Each would have the opportunity to get promoted through the ranks per the civil service rules.
And so we're not talking about rules coming from a collective bargaining agreement. These are from statute, correct?
No, and there's a couple red herrings that appellees bring up. The collective bargaining agreement is one of those. In Dorvey Miller, the collective bargaining agreement was only applicable, well, really only discussed by the court because the fire chief was part of that collective bargaining agreement here. There. In this case, Chief Powers was not part of the collective bargaining agreement, was actually excluded from it. So it has no relevance to the court here.
And so we're just talking about statute?
We're talking...
The application of statute and then whatever. Because the statute's the umbrella for the civil service applying,
correct.
Code applying, and then your whatever rules exist underneath that.
Correct. Yeah, and the local rules largely mirror, 90% of the time, mirror the state code, which is what exactly what we're asking the Supreme Court to apply here. So I see I have just coming up on my rebuttal time, so I'll conclude for now unless there's any other questions from the court.
Thank you. Mr. Galvin, good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court. Charles Galvin on behalf of Chief James Powers, appellee in this matter. I know this court is very interested in the topic here today, but I would like to just take a step back and recognize that while the policy of double dipping or retire, rehire, or whatever we'd like to discuss or call it, may be one of great general interest and debate, it is legal in Ohio, and the debate on that topic should be left to the General Assembly. Now, in this case, the issue is much narrower. The issue in this case is what constitutes a vacancy. The trial court and the lower court at the 11th District Court of Appeals both ruled consistently with over four decades of Ohio law that no vacancy occurred in this case.
But how can that be based on the wording of the statute?
So I would like to call the court's attention. It's interesting because both at the trial court, at the appellate court, in the memorandum in support of jurisdiction, and in the merit brief, the union has continuously inserted the word retirement into Section 124.48, and it just doesn't exist. If you look at the statute, retirement is not in there. It's vacancy that is the issue. Vacancy does not occur in this situation because in this case...
Did he retire or resign?
He retired administratively for the purposes of accessing his pension benefits, and he did so with the assistance of the Ohio Police and Fire Pension Fund. When he submitted...
124.37 says a vacancy occurs through death, resignation, or any other cause. He resigned, right?
So he didn't resign because, as the lower court explained, resignation requires a relinquishment, an intent
if he didn't resign, how does he comply with 742.37, which says that to receive pension payments, an employee must, quote, voluntarily resign or be discharged from the department?
He followed all the steps that the...
That's not really the answer, right? I mean, he couldn't recover pension payments. He couldn't get pension payments under law unless he, quote, voluntarily resigned or was fired.
And
I know he wasn't fired, so he had to voluntarily resign, right?
And I would note, for Your Honor, that the word resign in that statute has been interpreted by the Ohio Police Fire Pension Board in a manner that allows employees
but
like Mr.
That's
Powers.
Fine. They can interpret it however they want, but you know, it's a resignation.
Sure, and so, again, if we look at 124.48, resign is not a part of that statute, and that's what we're focusing on here, and that's what the case law since McCarter has been focused on, is whether a vacancy is present, and in many circumstances...
A vacancy occurs through death, resignation, or any other good cause. That's what 124.37 says.
Correct, Your Honor, and I'm referring to 124.48, and that's the one where the union states that a competitive examination is automatically required. And no court, there's no case that the union can present that has facts anywhere close to these where there was no discontinuation in service, there's no break in the chief's service. His oath, if you'll see in the record that was part of the stipulated facts, was turned in on January 6th, simultaneously with his administrative retirement for the purpose of accessing his pension. He submitted his oath to the city, and in saying so, he expressed that he was continuing his service as chief. So there's a little bit of perhaps confusion here.
How can you even say that? Because in order to continue or use that word, it means that there's no break. But clearly, he was creating a break or a severance in order to access retirement benefits, which can't be accessed unless you retire. And the statute, as Justice DeWine has read several times, so how can you say he's continuous?
Because physically and for all intents and purposes, he never stopped working. He never left the job. And he followed the rules and the procedures that were provided to him by the OPFP to access
his benefits. Well, the retirement board is making a different decision. They have rules as to how individuals can access pension benefits, correct?
They do have rules, yes.
But that's all they control. And what they do there has no bearing on what we say the law says.
I would agree with that, Your Honor. And so I would say that they do not determine whether a vacancy is constituted. And in this instance, there was no vacancy constituted. If the pension board would like to, you know, revisit its manner in which it administers pension benefits, it certainly could do that, but it would open itself up to a sea of litigation from
what's that have to do with anything? I mean, how the pension board administers pension benefits is up to the pension board and the legislature, but that has nothing to do with whether or not a resignation creates a vacancy, which, if you read the statutes, is pretty hard to say it doesn't.
I would agree that the pension board's determination of how it administers its benefits is up to the pension board. And there's no evidence here of any intent to resign other than for the purpose of following administrative steps in order to access Chief Powers' pension benefits. And so when the pension board is telling him this is what you need to do,
it really doesn't matter why he resigned. The question is whether or not he resigned, right?
And
I mean, whether his purpose was to get more pension benefits doesn't really affect whether or not it's a resignation.
Well, I would say that lower courts perhaps have not come to that same conclusion. I would say that the intent to resign, intent is critical. It involves a relinquishment of a right and future benefits, and it is a more radical step than a separation from employment. And in this case, the lower courts have held that this does not constitute a resignation such that an automatic competitive examination is triggered and required.
But he had to actually write a resignation letter, correct?
He submitted a sworn statement saying that he would continue on in his position, and the city as well submitted paperwork to the pension board saying he has retired effective January 6th, but rehired effective January 7th.
But in his paperwork, he said, I'm resigning, correct?
No, Your Honor.
He said, I'm retiring.
It's in the record, Your Honor. It is part of the stipulated facts. It's Exhibit B to the stipulated facts from the trial court. I'll read it here.
He said retiring then. I misspoke.
Yeah, I will in all respects faithfully discharge my duties as fire chief of the City of Wickliffe Fire Department during my continuance in said office effective January 7th, 2020. And so this is the statement.
Did you read the whole thing?
I, James Powers, do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States, the Constitution of the State of Ohio, and the laws of
That's his oath.
That's the oath.
So right.
Didn't he have to say he was retiring in what you just read?
There's a letter from the city that's Exhibit A.
He never said, I'm retiring?
He retired for the purpose of accessing pension benefits.
Did that have to be done in some written form?
Yes, it did have to be done in written form. Whether he had to physically do it, I believe the city provided that written form to the pension board for the purpose of helping him access those vested pension benefits that
he
acquired.
So you're saying not even for a nanosecond was there a vacancy?
No, Your Honor, there was not. And so it was sufficient for the pension board that this paperwork was submitted. Now, there was change in his status. He was receiving a 10% lower salary from the city following the effective date of his change in status.
And it doesn't really matter. We're trying to figure out if revised code 124.48 and .50 applied to, and to do that, we have to figure out if there was actually a vacancy.
And our position is that there was not for the purpose of those statutes. Other cases have held where similar positioned officers other civil servants have been actually absent from the job, whether it's been due to injury, whether it's been due to an intended retirement. In some cases, lower courts have found that where there was a temporary assignment to a different position and the position was not occupied by anybody.
Well, but this seems different in that the very thing that the chief had to do to access his pension is the very thing that would also require that he end his employment with the department.
Well, I would contend that it's not quite that same, because one set of these statutes has more of a practical effect to it. The vacancy component that's discussed in Chapter 124 really focuses on, is there somebody there? Is there somebody to answer the call, to do the responsibilities, to carry out the duties of the office?
Don't we then muddle the terms retirement, resignation, either, which might be a whole separate issue, either the facts weren't presented correctly when he retired to access the pension, or, I mean, in order to access the pension, it seems like he's essentially saying, I want to access my pension, but I don't want to leave my job. So he could not have gone to get his pension and say, all right, I'm applying to my pension, and I want that starting next week, without separating, doing some act that separated him from the workforce, retirement.
I think that again.
Or you sound like you're saying he just needed to say or fill out the paperwork that he needed to fill out to retire with the pension board, but it had no effect on actually separating from employment.
That's correct, Your Honor. And the fact that there are other elements to this. So the city now, you know, continues to pay into the pension fund, but the payment that the city makes just goes to the general fund itself. It doesn't go to Chief Powers for his benefit. And the city also pays him a reduced salary. This method, this retiree hire tool, is something that cities and other local governments around the state have used as a means of recruiting and retaining talent in a time
That's
when...
That's true, but aren't they different when there's civil servant and non-civil servant positions?
There's a difference, but at the same time, the requirement is still that a vacancy be found or declared in order to trigger that difference. And here, there is no vacancy, and none of the cases that the union cites in support have come close to the departure that or lack thereof that occurred here. There was no break in service. It was a continuous employment with the city, a continuous execution of his duties.
Excuse
and his
me,
responsibilities.
But he's civil service. He's not unclassified. And so he's even as chief, he's allowed to take advantage of all of the protections of being a classified employee, yet he's now, because he's chief, able to take advantage of things that only unclassified employees could do. Which way, shouldn't it just be consistent?
I don't know that that's accurate, but I do think it's consistent in that every employee who has the same access to the police and fire pension fund has the opportunity to access their vested rights once they achieve eligible status in their time of service and in their vested interest.
But if we were to rule in favor of the appellant on this, it would mean that whether someone was at the firefighter level, the lieutenant level, the captain level, or the chief level, if they were going to take their retirement and try to continue to work, they would all be subject to the same ruling, that they would have to be, that their position would be declared vacant, whatever promotions would be in order would happen, and that person would start back at the initial firefighter level. I mean, am I right on that?
I believe that that is correct, Your Honor, and I think that that is, in my eyes, a very drastic step that the General Assembly, if that's the direction that Ohio wants to go in terms of public policy, then that sea change should take place in the General Assembly and not in this court, because you will have thousands of civil service employees impacted by a decision where you can only access your pension benefits if you agree to drop down to the rank of firefighter or drop down to the rank of patrol officer. You lose all of your seniority when you do that.
But shouldn't the General Assembly, I mean, a vacancy is a vacancy, and you heard what Justice DeWine read to you from the definition. And if the General Assembly doesn't like that result as we apply the plain language, they can change it, correct?
Well, I would suggest, Your Honor, that the McCarter decision in 1981 explained that a vacancy is not defined in Chapter 124. And further, the McCarter decision also cited a 1976 opinion in State X. Rel. Lloyd from the First District that held a vacancy does not occur when a fire captain is put on duty in a temporary position that was not made permanent until a later date. The point is that courts have been interpreting the definition of vacancy in Ohio for over four decades. And this has not been a secret. This is something that has been well established. It's known in public. The General Assembly has had over four decades to take into consideration how the Ohio Police and Fire Pension Fund has been interpreting and administering its pension benefits. It's had over four decades to address.
When you talk about the case, the law addressing this in State X. Rel. Mylott versus McKelvey, the Seventh District said lower courts have held that a vacancy under Chapter 124 occurs when a position has been established and occupied becomes vacant by reason of death, retirement, dismissal, promotional, or other permanent absences.
And that permanent word is key there. Permanent is what qualifies the rest of those.
Or other.
And I would just, again, reiterate, Your Honor, that
he wasn't permanently absent.
He wasn't permanently absent, and therefore that there was no vacancy established. That's what the lower court held. That's what the trial court held. And that's what consistently has been held throughout Ohio courts. If we switch course now, there will be a sea change in how benefits are accessed. It will have a chilling effect on the ability of local governments to recruit and retain quality officers, quality firefighters in a time when there is a drastic shortage.
But what about when there isn't? And it seems to be in this case when there are other officers at the captain lieutenant level who also are equally as qualified and want to move up in the ranks.
Well, I would say, Your Honor, that they also stand to lose on a decision that would have such a broad-ranging vacancy, because there's no guarantee that they will be promoted. And so if they were to ever want to engage,
there's a guarantee that someone will be promoted.
Well, it may be, but at the same time, there's much more likelihood of occurrence where they may want to engage in retire, rehire at whatever their current rank is. They may not reach a captain or a chief level by the time they are of retirement age, and so it benefits them to be able to retain their rank,
but
albeit
don't you
lower
think
than chief.
That's something that they consider before they challenged the.
Frankly, I'm not sure that they did, Your Honor, but that's not for me to decide. I see that I've gone over my time. If there's no further questions from the court, respectfully request that the court uphold and affirm the decision of the 11th District.
Thank you. Mr. Guidetti, you have 4 minutes, 59 seconds remaining.
Thank you, Your Honor.
You're so welcome.
There's simply no sea change that's going to occur here. There's nothing further the General Assembly needs to do. This wasn't an oversight by the General Assembly. The code provisions that we've talked about today that specifically apply to fire departments make the process crystal clear. The court and Doar addressed these same issues. And Your Honor, you're right. The pension board's determinations have no impact on these mandatory revised code provisions. In Doar,
Basically, what the court said is, look, if the fire chief wants to withdraw his retirement before it was accepted by the city and that thereby stop collecting the pension benefits, he can do that. But because the chief in that case decided he didn't want to do that, wanted to continue collecting his pension, you're stuck with that resignation. That resignation constitutes a voluntary separation of retirement, which immediately created the vacancy. We talked a little bit, opposing counsel talked a little bit about the court looking into intent. Intent is only pertinent to determine whether a resignation can be rescinded before it's affected by the appointing authority.
Is your colleague on the other side right? Did you not consider the possible collateral effects of the ruling you're seeking for the lower members?
No, not at all. And all we're asking for is what everybody has the expectation of, and started out today, we're talking about protecting the rules provided for classified civil servants in the state of Ohio. And all we're asking for is to preserve the integrity of the promotional process for these classified civil service positions. So no, my client contemplated it as set forth in the revised code. And that's all we're asking the court to do. Nowhere in the revised code does it provide that the pension board can nullify any mandatory provisions of state law. There was some discussion of whether Mr. Powers actually submitted a formal resignation to the city. Although that resignation can occur orally, and as Justice DeWine noted, Chapter 743 requires and actually mandates that both the applicant for retirement or the retiree certify that they're separating from service, and the city also has to certify that this employee did in fact separate from service.
Did that take place here?
That did, and that's in the stipulations of fact entered into in the trial court. It's in the record of this matter. I think it's Exhibit C, but don't quote me on the exhibit reference. But it is in the record before the court. So again, we're left with the position that there was, of course, no doubt this was an actual retirement. And also in the record, also in that stipulation of fact that was entered into in the trial court, part of the deal here was Chief Powers was able, because solely because he was retiring, was able to take all his paid accumulated leave and have that paid out to him since he's now retired over the course of 3 years. So he's receiving $50,000 of his paid accumulated leave over the course of the next 3 years. Why? Because he separated from service. So as a result of that, I'd ask the court to vacate the 11th district decision, and I'd actually ask the court to issue an order consistent with the relief requested in Local 1536's complaint. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. We will take the matter under advisement, and you will receive a decision from the court. Marshall, would you recess the court?